Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, some moves made yesterday by the Tennessee Titans. McDougald cut at the safety position. Anthony Rush cut as well. Let's start with Bradley McDougald. I guess, what is your surprise level that he was cut immediately after the game on Sunday, and what does this mean for the Titans at the safety position now as they look ahead to this week, as we know, without Amani Hooker being available in this game?
Tough business, man. Tough business. You're our starting safety on Sunday. Have a good life on Tuesday. It happens fast.
It's rough.
Kind of a confirmation that, because obviously you can make a bad play or two in a game. Everybody talks about it and sees it, and you can still play good snaps the rest of the game. Now, if you made those mistakes, does that really matter? Maybe not, but gosh, if those snaps were good from him, would he be cut? Yeah, it's probably, yeah, like he must have been pretty bad beyond even the mistakes. Obviously, the one deep pass where they score, Lockett scored. I mean, Molden kind of bumped into him. It's a little bit of a just kind of a bumbling play by them. And then, I mean, the Seahawks schemed up Lockett in the slot against him in the first bomb. That's, you know, it's just, you don't, I don't care who your safety is. You don't want your safety with Tyler Lockett.
No.
And I don't, honestly, I don't know if the Titans were in like cover three like they are a lot, and that's just, you know, what they got out of it. But regardless, you don't want that matchup. I mean, I can't blame McDougald for like not being able to run with Tyler Lockett. We knew that, right? But apparently he played poorly. He got pulled from the game. He got cut. He had a real short time here, kind of an impressive rise to be able to get to where he was. So now it's Cruikshank probably starting next to Kevin Byard. Matias Farley has kind of been there as the three safety. I guess they like him as the three. Stay at the three, and someone else will be the two.
Great fourth down play by Matias Farley, though, in week one. Nice pass.
That's true.
To Monty Hooker.
He is a good – he's got a great passer rating this year. Maybe Farley could compete with Cruikshank. You know, the Cruikshank story has been he's been a great special teams player. He has the athletic measurables, and he's had a ton of injuries. So maybe this is finally his coming out party as a safety. It'd be great for them to develop a third player they feel good about there. And then obviously you hope Amani Hooker can be back ASAP, because Amani Hooker was an important storyline for this defense this year. And he was living up to it in camp.
Yeah.
So whatever that's worth, there are limitations to how you play in camp and what it means in a season. But I think Amani Hooker was poised to be a good player, and they need him back.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. David texting in. We continue to overlook Tannehill. If not for the drop passes, he would have passed for well over 400 yards on Sunday. And, Joe, we talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. A lot of people, I mean, obviously Derrick Henry, and I don't want to take anything away from Derrick Henry because he deserves pretty much all the credit that he's gotten so far this week for what he did on Sunday against Seattle. But Ryan Tannehill was pretty good. Threw for 347. Did get a touchdown taken off the board to Julio Jones. But largely, Ryan Tannehill was awesome in that game. And yet another example this week league-wide of probably not getting the credit he deserves for what we saw on Sunday.
I mean, he got absolutely plastered a few times.
He did.
He had five passes dropped. He had another pass that was a touchdown that somehow didn't count as a touchdown. And at the end, he made all the plays, including in overtime, the last A.J. Brown drop on a little improvised, you know, a little scramble route where he turns it upfield, and Tannehill on the run dropped it right in there, and it was dropped. He was outstanding. And, yeah, because Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry and did ridiculous Derrick Henry things, and then Derrick Henry leads, you know, he's the vocal guy in the locker room. It's about him for sure, and it should be. But, man, you got to tip the cap to Tannehill and remember again that he's good and sometimes really, really good. And he's been pretty consistent here, and it's consistently been overlooked.
Which,
around the league.
It has. And, look, I'll even throw us under the bus a little bit. Monday, it took us a minute before we got to Ryan Tannehill.
We did at least. I mean, at one point,
it was like 30 minutes.
It was like, maybe we should mention Tannehill. But again, I'm sorry, but Derrick Henry is just a different deal. Like, he's a must-see player, and I don't even know where did he rank in the player voting in the NFL Network thing? 9th or something like that? Top 10 player, right?
Henry?
Yeah.
He's number 4.
He's number 4?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't quibble with that, and you're going to start there, especially when he just basically takes over a game. But again, you do not have – the overtime or the win, if Tannehill doesn't make play after play on that tying drive and really just play well all day. He sailed a couple throws early in one of their drives that had to be a field goal. But, man, he was really good. I think the Seahawks have a good defense.
Yeah.
I think they have a great defense. They have good defense.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan from White House texting in. I was just curious as to why we haven't seen much read option this year from Tannehill like we did last year, since the defenses are clearly going hard after Henry. We did see that a couple times last year.
Yeah, like
he pulled down the 55-yarder at Green Bay or whatever it was. But it wasn't like there was a read option every week from Ryan Tannehill.
I don't really
want him getting hit all that much.
Yeah, I mean, I like it as a little change up. Keep it.
I tell you where it's been really effective is on the goal line. When they line up at shotgun inside the 5 and everybody dives in for Derrick Henry and Tannehill just skips into the end zone, you might see that a couple of times this year.
Yeah. I mean, so there's obviously like straight up read option. There's also, RPOs. Haven't seen a ton of any of that. I would imagine we'd see some here and there. But, yeah, for the most part, I just wouldn't want him because Tannehill slides, but boy, sometimes he doesn't seem to want to.
Yeah.
I mean, he uses feet in some really timely spots Sunday. He doesn't do it a ton. I mean, he can move when he wants to. But yeah, as a curveball, I would not expect like some game where all of a sudden they're just going read option like crazy.
I wouldn't think so either. Now, one thing that – and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but the deep ball that he threw to Julio was just – it was a great throw. And to be able to connect on those balls down the field, I think Tannehill's pretty much proven at this point he can throw pretty much any pass you need him to throw. But I am interested, and we talked about this when Julio was signed or was traded for, a little bit more of a vertical look down the field. We saw it some from A.J. Brown last year, but – Khalif Raymond was supposed to be that guy, and that didn't really work last year. But having a little bit more of a vertical attack down the field, I'm interested to see how that develops with this offense, because I think Tannehill is absolutely good enough and consistent enough to absolutely kill teams with that if they give it to him.
And the thing that we haven't seen yet, that we will at some point, I believe, I don't know about Marcus Johnson. I don't know, if, when he'll be back. But Josh Reynolds is at least out there playing. I mean, there's a guy who vertically you could have a really sweet matchup here and there because of AJ and Julio. So it's not just to one of those guys. I mean, I think that there's going to be opportunities as those guys become – I mean, that's not Chester Rogers. That's just not what he does, not what he is. But it is those two guys. And I feel like a real vertical element from a third receiver is just a great addition to this offense.
Go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, you can pound the rock without being completely predictable. Getting down by 14 and running for 1 yard over and over is not a winning formula for the Titans offense.
I'm more in your camp. Yes. I understand this is what you are. It's bread and butter. You're going to do it a fair amount. But also, if you think that like Henry workload is anything that matters at all, like the cumulative effect –
do we still
don't
think that?
Want it? Well, I don't. I don't think that if I'm the Titans, I want him touching the ball 40 times every game.
Probably not.
I just feel, one, that's 40 separate opportunities for him to get hurt. But also, I think you got to expect that there's some kind of tough effect on it. Like, there's got to be a bruise here and there, right? Does he have a bruise somewhere?
I guess. I don't know.
Like, so that's the case for my radical idea of just benching him in the first half. Not benching him. Have him out there. But, you know, just see if you can pass to run a little bit. I'm not saying abandon the run altogether. But I think there is there's a safe middle ground there between just being bullheaded about it and just, we're not going to have 3rd and 8 this time. And, completely abandoning it. Of course you don't do that. But a defense can be tired either way without Henry having to be the one who softens them with the first 20 carries, right? I'm sure he makes a defense tired better than anybody else does, but in the fourth quarter, if you're having good drives, then the defense will be tired.
We'll continue.
And then you run Derrick Henry.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, on the Titans. That's coming up next. But hockey is back in Smashville, and don't miss out on the 6 home games scheduled during the month of October. Be there for the Preds season opener on October 14th against the newest team in the league, the Seattle Kraken. And October games includes 2 Saturday night games versus Eastern Conference opponents in Carolina and the New York Islanders. And don't miss out on the 6 home games scheduled during the month of October. Opponents include the Kraken, Hurricane, Kings, Rangers, Sharks, and Islanders. So Nashville Predators, October through February games are on sale to the general public, and March single game tickets available starting today. So make sure you get a hold of those and you get your hands on those tickets to end up in Bridgestone Arena in one of the loudest environments in the NHL. On sale exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. Once again, those tickets on sale exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery in downtown Nashville this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with 2 locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Did you see Conor McGregor's first pitch last night at Wrigley Field?
Pretty fantastic. You seen this, Michelle?
Mine was officially better. Yes, I tweeted.
I don't think there's any question about that.
Much better. I mean, that was the lefty LaLouche.
And that had to be on purpose, right?
No.
Like, you can't be that bad.
I don't know. I mean, he clearly decided he wanted to go sidearm.
Like, we've seen some doozies out there. Like, I still think the 50-cent first pitch might be the worst one I've ever seen.
Denard Robinson
was pretty bad.
As a case.
Yeah. I mean, there have been some doozies out there. But the McGregor one almost looked like it was on purpose. It was that bad.
See 50 Cent McGregor. See, the difference is Denard Robinson was like an accomplished Big Ten quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to be able to throw the ball.
Yeah. So there's less leeway for that. But it's pretty special. If anybody hasn't seen it, check it out. If there was a mascot, if the Cubs had a mascot, his head is coming off in this play.
Maybe that was the point.
He's the
sometimes McGregor's a little bit of a loose cannon out there.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Kind of just sick of him in general.
I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of him moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to start winning some fights again at some point, right? And he hadn't done a whole lot of that lately. So.
Yeah. But I guess I'd rather still watch him than like a YouTuber. But he fought a YouTuber, right?
Boomer.
I don't think he did. Yeah. I don't think he's fought the YouTuber yet.
Okay.
No,
but come on now.
He did fight Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, wasn't that right? Yeah.
That was something.
Yeah, we need to get rid of all these old people doing things.
Joe, why don't you
like
get
me
in the
talking
ring?
Talking on the radio.
Rex Road, get in the ring.
We need to get rid of all these old people doing stuff.
All these boomers out there.
Sit at home and shut up.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is Jalen Fly starting on Sunday for the Titans. Have you seen this? There's a guy named Jalen Fly who was
I saw him
outside of the Titans facility with a sign and some shoulder pads in tow. I guess he used to play for Austin Peay. Wants a shot at the NFL.
I saw him last week or the week before out there. I guess he was out there yesterday, which was bad timing by him because it's like a day off.
Correct.
But, yeah, I've seen him.
He was out there 2 weeks ago, I think.
Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Stood there, like, for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So I admire the dedication.
Well, his sign said something like COVID cost him his season.
COVID cost him his season or something like that.
He's a big guy.
Yeah. So.
But, you know.
I mean, somebody on Twitter pointed out, and I looked at the replies to his tweet yesterday, and somebody tagged the Titans. They're like, surely to God, if you took Isaiah Wilson in the first round, you could at least give this guy a 10-minute tryout. Just give him a look.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, they gave, like, the Michigan wrestler a try.
Yeah.
That didn't work
out. I mean, this guy's actually played offensive line.
Yeah.
You never know.
Sure. If he's, you know, go the route of the tryout, try to get the spring tryout. That's your route. Try to get somebody's spring tryout. A lot of non-draftable prospects, you know, end up in those, and sometimes people do really well in them, and then all of a sudden they're back invited for the OTAs.
Got a text on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says Kenny Vaccaro still out there. I would assume at this point if Kenny Vaccaro has not been snatched up by the Titans, probably not coming back.
I would think so. I mean, I said the same thing about Mykole Pruitt.
That is true.
And all of a sudden, he's out there just pancaking people and catching passes. And I'm like, why didn't you just sign him in the first place?
Yeah.
But it sure looks like the Vaccaro ship has sailed. And I don't know on the Vaccaro side of things. He hasn't announced any kind of retirement, but maybe he's like, I'm only playing this game for X. You know, like I'm not coming back for like a minimum salary right now.
Well,
because I would absolutely agree that like Kenny Vaccaro's last year's version, I would still prefer him to what we saw from Bradley McDougald, for example.
Agree. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shane from Ashland City texting in. The locket bomb looked like a zone. Safety picks up deep instead of the corner, and safety was shallow almost side by side when the ball was thrown to Lockett, and he was already gone.
Yeah, I figured it was cover three on that play. And, again, the Titans are in that a lot. So, I mean, it's not like they manned. They said, you know, people watch.
Here you go, Bradley.
People, you know, it's like people see who's covering a receiver on a play downfield, and you're like, why was that guy covering that guy? Well, it's often a zone look, and so you're covering an area. And that's a good scheming by the Seahawks and maybe a little help. You want a little help for a guy like McDougald.
Not great tackling on that play.
And then there's that, too.
That was some bad news Bears tackling on that play. Molden and McDougald.
Well, that one, okay. Oh, is that the one
was the one he was talking about. Maybe not.
I thought he was talking about the first
bust later.
One. No. Because the first one was straight up, it was really McDougald Lockett.
Yeah.
I thought that's what he meant.
That could be.
But yeah, the second one was definitely, you know, that was a deep cross.
Yep.
And he left, and he just left Molden behind. He just shook him. And so then you have all that space, and then obviously the Keystone Cop stuff afterward.
We talked about the taunting penalty in the NFL and how that's a big topic of conversation earlier in the show. Our good friend Nate on Twitter pointing out a tweet from Rich Ornberger on Twitter that says, quote, the taunting penalty will inevitably cost the team a crucial late game 4th-and-1 conversion because a receiver spins the football. The sports world will freak out, and the NFL will change the rule this offseason. It's predictable. I feel bad for the team it happens to. It's a dumb rule.
Well, again, the rule's not different, so let's remember that. The rule is not a new rule. It's not a changed rule. It's an emphasis of enforcement. So the rule will be there, and it's just a question of can officials have common sense and use it when it's getting nasty, when it's very in your face. I'm okay with that. When it's kind of celebrating a play and, gosh, you happen to look at your opponent who you just beat, I think maybe a little common sense needs to prevail there.
I mean, the Titans were the benefactor of one of those calls on Sunday.
They were.
So as much as we talk about the call in the back of the end zone, which sucked. And as much as we talk about the non-safety call, which was not good, Titans did get a call on that front.
They definitely did. I mean, the Seahawks did have 10 penalties for 100 yards in this game. So it's not like the refs are out there just like calling stuff on the Titans. That was an example to me of what the rules shouldn't be or what the enforcement of the rules should not be. So hopefully it evens out. It's a hot topic this week for sure. And it should be. I mean, there's the Houston-Cleveland one was the other one I saw that I was like, yeah. Come on.
It's an emotional game. Sometimes you just got to let the players play.
Like if we're going to, and I'm glad we aren't seeing this, because now like everyone does it, you know, like the first down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I haven't seen that flagged. I hope it doesn't get flagged. What's wrong with being excited about making a play?
Nothing. And to what we talked about earlier, I think generally speaking, you can tell when somebody's taunting. Like it's pretty, if it's bad, it's pretty out there and open and in your face. Just, that's fine. Call those. Other than that, leave it alone. That's just my two cents on the matter. Eric in Bellevue texting in, can we get Peyton and Eli to do the broadcast for the Colts and Titans game?
No, but
I think you will see them on the Titans-Bills game, Monday Night Football. Hopefully.
That's right. That's right. You know, that's I was thinking about the other day. Like, I have to remember, because obviously I'm going to be in the press box. Like, I have to remember to tape ESPN2 that night.
Yep.
Because I think, like, going back through that tape, you're going to learn something about the Titans, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, really. That's what's great about it.
I mean, you could kind of tell, and I'm sure Eli's doing it to some degree too, but you can kind of tell that Peyton Manning throughout the week is like studying film on both of these teams and coming up with tendencies. He talked about talking to the head coaches. Like, there's a lot of prep work going into this from Peyton.
Oh, is that right? See, yeah. I didn't watch. I mean, I was like traveling, so I didn't watch any of the Lions-Packers one from them.
He's talking about like a conversation he had with LaFleur. There's some prep work going into this thing.
Interesting. I mean, that's cool. I kind of like the idea of just off the cuff, this is what I see. But, I mean, hey.
Well, he does that, but I think in order to have familiarity with the roster, like he basically broke down the Packers week one game because I guess he watched it on film, and then they just roll.
Interesting.
For live action.
Yeah. I mean, they're great insight, funny.
The ratings went up like 138% from week one to two.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I feel.
That's just like a lag.
There's a lot of conversation about it after week one.
Yeah.
And then people wanted to check it out for week two. I do kind of feel bad for Steve Levy and company.
Do you, though?
Probably
going to
get worse. Well, not really, but I do love Lewis Riddick.
Well, those guys get paid well. I mean, look,
they'll be fine.
It's the network's decision. And, I mean, look, they've done these simulcasts for many years in different forms. It's just that this one's got a chance to be pretty big.
It was funny, though, because I was originally, before the game started, you know, the Monday night countdown was on, and before I switched it over to the Manning broadcast, they brought Levy, Riddick, and Brian Greasy on there. And, like, at the end of their little spiel, Levy's like, and if you want to check out the Manning broadcast, head on over to ESPN2. And I was like, I wonder how he feels reading this thing off right now. It's probably fun.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Don't make me say that. Yeah. Well, I feel like if it's interesting that you watch the Manning broadcast because it seems to me like if it's your team in a big game on Monday Night Football, I feel like most people would still want the direct broadcast. Here's the play-by-play. Here's the announcer. We're not going to, we got Gronk, and oh, man, Gronk, let's talk about Rocky Road ice cream. You know, like,
I thought about that, and I thought about how am I going to watch this when it's my team? But I'll be honest, it was pretty enjoyable. Like, it was still pretty enjoyable.
Yeah. Does that have anything to do with the fact that you're a Tennessee fan?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, I don't remember watching Peyton Manning play college football.
Right.
I was four.
Well, then, the main broadcast is screwed, I guess.
I guess so.
About to have, like, no viewers.
Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans tonight on 102.5 The Game as the Sounds begin their final home series of 2021 hosting Columbus, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. It's Fan Appreciation Week at First Horizon Park, and you can enjoy $5 and $6 beers all week long. Grab tickets today. Visit NashvilleSounds.com. First pitch is at 7:05. When we come back, we'll get into the Nashville Predators. Training camp begins today. What are the biggest storylines for the Preds as they open up training camp? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And the Predators take it 4-3.
We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing, 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 vibing. We're vibing, Robbie.
Preds training camp opening today, officially. Team physicals, meetings taking place today at Preds training camp. On the ice coming up in a few days. And before we know it, on the ice in real preseason games coming up on Sunday. It's a quick turnaround for Nashville Predators training camp. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Also streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And we're going to get into the Predators here in just a second. But right now, I got some tickets to give away. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a family 4-pack of tickets to see Nashville SC take on Orlando at Nissan Stadium coming up on Wednesday, September the 29th. Caller number 3 at 615-737-1025.
Thanks, Michelle. I look as stupid as I figured I would there.
And if you want to see Joe vibing, head over to 102.5 The Game Twitter. And he was vibing this morning.
Yeah, well, what I was doing was I was impersonating Ryan Porth when he used to play that. Did Ryan Porth, did he produce that? Did he create that?
I mean, he didn't create the tune because the Predators like jazzed one up from Johansson talking. So but that, he created the bump back to it, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so that the vibing and all that stuff, that was the Preds.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and that's me impersonating Porth, which is unfair. Because we never got the camera on Porth doing it for real, the genuine original.
It's a tough one.
It's much better than whatever the hell I'm doing there.
At 102.5 The Game on Twitter. God. So, Joe Rexford, your top storyline for the Predators as they open up training camp this week. What intrigues you the most about this group as hockey season, hard to believe, basically 3 weeks away now from the Nashville Predators?
That's just every year I say it, but that's just wild. Yeah, I'll stick with the young players. I just think it's very interesting, very important for the future and for this season. You know, like Philip Tomasino can play. Can he make the roster? I mean, I think that right now, any Preds fan who expects Tomasino to just come in and boom, be like a high impact player, I think you got to pump the brakes a little bit. But there's a lot of positivity and buzz around him, and obviously he's a player of interest. Cody Glass, didn't mention him earlier, but Cody Glass, certain huge.
Sure.
And then Tolvanen to me is just he really changed the narrative around him last year. But then he gets hurt, and it's, you know, he's not as effective. He gets scratched. I mean, what is Elli Tolvanen? We're going to find out a lot more about that. I suspect he's more like the guy that, I mean, it's not like it was a 2-week stretch of playing well. I mean, he's, and the shot is lethal. We know this. But can he take another step? Can he become a consistent top six guy? That would be mine.
Mine is Duchesne and Johansson, and not just the, you know, the normal question of, all right, are these guys going to figure it out? I think that's the number one job for John Hines this year, is to find whatever role it is for these two guys. And I think they're different roles. But whatever role it is, you've got to find a way to maximize whatever it is they bring to the table if you're John Hines. Look, the young players are going to get a lot of attention this year, and deservedly so. I'm interested to see what that looks like. But to me, however long this retool or rebuild or restructure or whatever you want to call it, however long that lasts is still largely dependent on, can you get anything out of Johansson and Duchesne? Because if you can't, I really don't care how good your young players are. Those are two massive holes in your lineup that it's just going to be hard to overcome from a financial standpoint. So this is a big deal for them and a big deal for John Hines to get those two figured out. I think the two of them are in different situations. You can pretty much write in pen that Ryan Johansson's the number one center for this team as camp opens up. I have no idea where they're putting Matt Duchesne. I would love to see them start off with him and Forsberg and Duchesne and Johansson together. But I don't know. They could do that. He could be the second-line center with Granlund and Cunning to the right of him. He could be on the third line. I have no clue where they're going to play Matt Duchene. That's going to be interesting to see how they open that up in training camp.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see that too. It's worth a shot. I feel like with Johansson, not only is he in pen, number one center, but I also feel like, again, their stats won't necessarily tell the story for him. He could be good this year and not still not produce, you know, to the contract. But Duchene, I mean, I think it's like you've got to have the numbers.
Yep.
So what are those numbers? 60 points?
I think
is that unrealistic at this point? Shouldn't be.
If you told me right now that Matt Duchene ended up with 60 points this year, if I'm a Preds fan, I'm signing up for that all day. Which is crazy because when he got here, I think if you told him that, okay, the first 3 years Matt Duchene's putting up 60 points a year, I think people would have said, okay, I mean, that's all right. But he just put up 70, scored 30 goals. Where's that guy?
Right. That guy that happened one time. Right. But, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's 50. I mean, take 50.
I'd probably take 50.
Take 40? How about 40?
I mean, he had 13 last year in 34 games. It's going to have to be better than that. Again, points are not the whole story. And look, I agree with you to a certain extent about Johansson. He's different in this. He can play well without necessarily putting up the numbers. They do matter a little bit, though. Like, you got to put up some numbers. His point total was not acceptable a year ago, and that's going to have to get better in the regular season.
No doubt. I mean, as number one center, he could have a good year and have 12 goals.
Correct.
But then you got to have, you know, 40 plus assists, 30 plus assists, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, it used to just be the criticism like, gosh, you had those 30 goal seasons in Columbus. Why don't you shoot more? But he still was producing.
Yeah. I mean, he did have a season here where he had over 50 assists. If you could get back to that, that'd be great.
Yeah, they'd probably have to be a better, much better team for that to happen.
I would say so. Melissa from Gallatin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I agree that Duchene and Johansson have to step it up. I hope they skate out of the gate with chips on their shoulders and prove all the doubters wrong. With all the new young players coming in, they'll need 95 and 92's veteran leadership. Also, I'm actually glad that we don't have Forsberg re-signed. Let him play and prove it in a contract year. Let's see what he's got. Which I understand the sentiment there. The danger is you could end up losing him for nothing if that happens. And you play out the season with no contract for Philip Forsberg. And also, if he plays really well, that price goes up if you're Philip Forsberg.
There's no way, if they don't have a deal done, that they're going to hope that they get him next summer, right? Don't you have to move him?
I wouldn't think so.
Don't you have to move him?
Yeah. Like, to me, and I know a lot of Predators fans are already concerned about it. I wouldn't be concerned about it yet. I mean, look, it doesn't necessarily have to happen by the time the season starts. We saw that with Josi. I mean, he was, what, 2.5, 3 weeks into the season before he got his contract done? And I think it's going to go longer than that with Forsberg. I don't know that, but just the vibe that I get is it might go a little bit longer than that. I think if you start to get around the holidays and Forsberg is not signed yet, it's probably time to start worrying at that point. And at that point, you got about 2.5 months, if you're David Poile, to make a decision on whether or not this is going to be something that you pursue or whether or not you're going to have to trade him. I mean, that's to me the point where if I'm Poile and the Predators, if it's not done by the holidays, the hair on the back of my neck is up at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, at that point, I mean we see the timeline, nothing's done, but there's been discussions. I mean, if it's not done by then, I would imagine the discussions are telling you,
yeah,
he likes the idea of being on the open market.
Well, okay. Also, like everybody just keeps assuming that Mattias Ekholm's going to sign, and
that's still not
– here we are, September 22nd. He's not signed.
Yeah.
So, he's in the same category.
Well, both of those guys have to wonder, okay, what's coming here? How good is this team going to be? How good are the next few teams going to be? Do I want to be part of that? Yeah. It's fair for them to have misgivings.
It's fair. And there's a lot of questions for this team, lots of storylines for this team heading into training camp. Taylor from Fort Campbell texting in. I'm just looking forward to Robbie DeLuzing in Preds Pick to Click. Well,
I'm looking forward to dominating.
Statistically, pretty likely that I will lose in Preds Pick to Click.
Last time was, is that you, Michelle? You got a point?
Heck yeah, I did.
Well, that was in
We're
a Pick to Click.
Rex Road.
Wait, what do we do? Oh, you're talking about, oh yeah, okay. We're not, yeah, okay. I get it.
Boomer, that it's was, okay.
Boomer, yeah, Boomer didn't hear.
But speaking of NSC Pick to Click, that's what we're doing right now. Be our first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. NSC Pick to Click brought to you by Camarena Tequila. You can guess the goal score for Nashville SC in their game coming up tonight against Miami. If you get it right, you'll win a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's hooked in and headed in! Delirium! Yonder Cadiz!
Who's going to find the back of the net in the upcoming Nashville SC match? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click for the match and welcome a listener to do the same. NSC Pick to Click on ESPN 102.5 The Game is brought to you by Camarena Tequila.
And it is that time of the week. Time for NSC Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Nashville SC in action tonight, taking on Miami. Pregame begins at 6:15, and the match begins at 6:30 on ESPN 94.9. And it is your opportunity to guess the goal score for Nashville SC. Now, the standings are this. The listeners with six correct answers. Joe Rex Road with two. Michelle Knezovic with two.
Woo!
Brian Porth with one. Robbie Stanley with one. So the listener's still with a significant lead in this competition. And with that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Steven from Murfreesboro. Steven, what's going on? How are we doing?
What's up, guys? Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. Appreciate you joining us. So, Steven, who is your pick to click tonight for Nashville SC against Miami?
Well, last weekend I did not get Joe to wash my car.
You did
so
not.
Hopefully I'll win this. So I will go with Mukhtar.
Good selection. Hani Mukhtar, the selection by Steven in Murfreesboro. Appreciate you, man. So Steven selecting Hani Mukhtar.
Someday, Steven. Someday.
He didn't miss out on the Joe Rex Road car wash.
Greg Pogue asked me to vacuum his car, too, by the way. He's offering Bud Lights. So
not a bad price.
I don't know if that's enough, but we'll see.
Speaking of Joe Rex Road, Joe Rex Road, you were up first today in the competition here with ours. So Mukhtar is off the board. Your selection in NSC Pick to Click is whom?
I'll go CJ Sapong.
Probably a good call. CJ Sapong in the selection.
Didn't work out for me last time, but yeah. Feel like that's a sensible way to go.
I'm up next, and this one's tough. I know who the smart selections are to take, but I'm going off the board a little bit. I know he's only got one goal this year. Give me a little Walker Zimmerman. I think he finds a way in the back of the net. Give me Walker Zimmerman to connect.
Okay.
Michelle Knezovic, that leaves the door open for you.
I strayed away last week, but I'm going to pick Randall Leal again.
There we go.
So what had he picked Leal, what were you going to do?
CJ.
I picked Sapong.
You picked Sapong? I would have picked Mukhtar.
The listener picked him.
Oh.
You've been in
trouble. How do you have two?
I really just rotate
because of
people.
Randall Leal.
I don't know Leal, who I would have picked.
Did Randall Leal get you both your goals, by
no,
the way?
No, he got one, and then CJ Sapong last week.
Sapong got you. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Sapong was last week for you. Yeah.
To be honest, it was my first week, and the only reason I picked Randall Leal was because it was the only name I could really pronounce.
Yeah.
So I picked him on the list, and I was like, I guess I'll go with him. And then it worked out for me.
There you go.
That was the first week.
Now
he's been the go-to.
All right.
Tough loss for Nashville SC the other day against Toronto. Did not play very well. Ake Loba came in the 83rd minute. So they were trailing and chasing that game for most of the game. And you bring in a guy that's a record signing for your club, and it takes him to the 83rd minute to get in. It's been a little weird to me how I guess Ake Loba has just been an afterthought at this point. Like, I don't really know what to make of him because he's just not been on the field all that much.
Yeah. That was my last pick, wasn't it? Yeah.
You did go with Loba.
Yeah. At some point, that's going to pay off. Like, at some point, and then everyone's going to go nuts because there's just been so much hype around him.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's all about, at this point, if you're NSC, positioning yourself for the playoffs. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They're a very good team. They've got a chance to make a run. I mean, they made a good run last year as an expansion team. They got a chance to win the whole thing this year. You know, it's going to have to come together for them. They got to continue to play well defensively, but I'm interested to see what these last few weeks look like before the playoffs come around in terms of can they be firing on all cylinders heading in, because it was not very good last week against Toronto.
Yeah. That which was surprising. They haven't had their issues in terms of people getting hurt, or, you know, obviously you miss players for, you know, playing for their countries, things like that. Your lineup changes, but yet they've been very consistent. So I would expect that to return.
See if they can get back on the saddle tonight against Miami. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Andrew texting in says, this going back to the Johansson-Duchesne discussion, it's all about the points and the stats. They are getting paid for producing points, not participation.
Yeah, well, listen, again, I don't think there's any question with Duchesne. I'm not saying, hey, Ryan, you play hard and that's all that matters, buddy. No stats required. I'm just saying, and I guess I'm more than just overall stats, I'm talking about goals. I think Johansson can be a very effective player without scoring a lot of goals. Now, this particular team probably needs goal scoring from whoever can provide it, and he is a guy who should provide it to a decent amount. I'm just saying Johansson he's an important player in all aspects of the game. He can play well on a given night without registering on the score sheet. Duchesne, that's what he's here for.
Yep.
That's specifically why he's here.
Yeah.
Both of them are paid a lot, and you're right. I mean, Johansson has to produce.
It's going to be interesting to see where those two guys fit in terms of, are they playing together? Like, I was talking to Willie yesterday. What are they doing with Granlund? Is he going to be the second-line center? Is he going to be on the wing? Like, I don't know where Granlund's playing right now. Like, I figure he's going to be in the top six because he was their best forward last year. But is he down the middle, or is he on the wing? You putting Cody Glass up there? Like, there's a lot of – this could be a very interesting training camp for the Preds.
If you put Cody Glass up there, that's Glass, Granlund, and
– You could go Tolvanen. You could go Tomasino.
I mean, I would assume it would be Tolvanen, and then it's the line that we've talked about, Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson. I can't imagine Tomasino is – we don't know what he's making the team. We think he is.
I feel pretty good about him.
But he's not a start out top six, you think?
I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet the house on it or anything. I mean, what is interesting is, like, if he's not in the top six and Cody Glass is not in the top six, are you putting two young guys together like that? I see the appeal there. I also see where that could be an absolute disaster at first if you try that. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting decision for them. Jim Wyatt has come out with the britches report
for
Sunday's game for the Titans against the Colts. The light blue jerseys, navy blue pants.
See, I like that look.
It's my least favorite combination.
People are going to complain about this,
aren't they? It's the two-tone blue. I like it.
I'm not a big fan of it.
I love the
I don't really like the light blue jerseys anyway, but that combo, not a big fan of. Yeah. I know a lot of people are. A lot of people aren't. It's very polarizing.
Yeah, because I feel like there's more complaining when that happens. But I think it's a good look.
About right down the middle of, yes, this is awesome, or, oh my gosh, this is horrible. It's about what I would think.
Is there a picture of them?
Yeah. Look up Jim Wyatt's Twitter account. It's Jeffrey Simmons, light blue jerseys, navy blue pants.
The white is the best.
Excuse me, navy blue britches.
Yeah, no, that's my favorite Titans uniform.
It's my least favorite.
Period.
Hey, nobody's going to care as long as they win on Sunday.
So at home, because obviously, like, you know, usually on the road you're light, home dark. But like at home, then your choice would be what?
White pants, navy. Yeah. It's a little bit more old school. I just think that's clean.
Whoa, Robbie's old school and Joe's new.
Yeah,
see,
Clive
Boomer
switching roles. The Twitter comments are hilarious on your video, by the way.
Yeah, doing pretty well.
Oh, are they? Oh, good.
That does it for us today.
Let me go find those.
On Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Darren Dock and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.